tracheostomies.
What about trachs? What are the questions they're going to ask me about trachs? They're such mysterious things.
They are. And really what they want to get at are the complications. The person who had it done calmly in an operating room or some kind of procedural suite went home, disaster struck, and now they're in your emergency department. You got to figure out what to do.
They're not going to ask me about the person's trach that's working perfectly fine?
No, they won't. It's so strange. Weird. They have no interest in that whatsoever.
Wow. Okay.
But they're basically going to talk about the complications. So it takes about a week for the trach to fully mature. So what you might have is someone who had their trach placed 2 to 3 days ago, and they accidentally pulled it out. So an accidental decannulation of their trach. Now, if it's within that week window, they might say, you know what, call ENT because that trach's not mature. But if it's been with them for like a month and it's nicely mature, you probably can just go ahead and reinsert the trach. And so with this, you'll just want the patient kind of hyperextended at the neck to open up that space as wide as possible, and then you can go ahead and reinsert it. Another thing that might happen is obstruction, and this is usually from a mucus plug. Can happen with a lot of pulmonary instrumentation. So what do? You just remove that inner cannula, suction out what you can see, make sure you're pre-oxygenating them well, and it's usually just those temporizing methods that are necessary. Other things that can happen, you can get tracheitis or an infection around the site, and they'll probably make this very obvious with lots of pus and the patient's febrile, and they're looking sick, and so you just want to get antibiotics on board and stuff that'll cover staph, pseudomonas, maybe even a fungal infection with Candida, and that's usually all that they're looking for on the test question. Tracheal stenosis, a bit of a late complication, but you can prevent that with a change to a cuffless tube about 1 week post-procedure. But that might be something that shows up with a patient who's had a trach for a while.
There's a whole bunch of acute trach issues in terms of, you know, being able to ventilate the patient, but a few quick clinical pearls. I don't know if they'll be on the test. Remember, you can always bag a patient. Try that first. Everybody calm down. Bag the patient. You can always, if the trach is out and it's too small and you can't get the thing back in, get a bougie or something like that and slip a bougie in and then try and put a little tube over the top of that puppy. And don't forget, you can also try and intubate the patient. So the trach's falling out. What am I going to do? Try and intubate the patient. You might be able to just get the tube back in that way or anything, just something. Of course, you might find out there was a good reason for them being trached. Like
There's no pathway with that, too.
You can try these things. Everybody
but that and that calm. Need for intubation comes up a lot when we talk about the most common question you're going to get about a trach. All right, everyone listen up. It's the bleeding trach.
That's the one.
The bleeding trach. They come in. There's blood spewing from the trach site. This is usually going to be someone who just had it placed about 1 to 3 weeks ago. And they'll throw you these pearls. They're not dumb. They're going to throw you the person who had it done 14 days ago. They're going to want it within this 1 to 3 week window of when it was placed. And what they're looking for is the most feared complication, which is when a patient gets a tracheoannominate artery fistula. So it's burrowed into that innominate artery. And so now it's just spurting blood because it's arterial. It's very rare, but it's life-threatening. So this is the one they're going to test you on. So the patient comes in. There's bright red blood spewing from their trach site. And these are the things that they're going to want you to do. They're literally going to test you on the order of what you're about to do. So hyperinflating the cuff is the first thing you can do. It doesn't require much invasiveness. You just are hyperinflating the cuff because you're hoping to kind of tampon on that side of the bleed. You also can apply local digital pressure with your finger, and you can either do that from the outside or if you can get your finger in there and compress from the inside. And then obviously, if none of those measures are working, you're going to have to replace this airway with something more definitive. So they do recommend on the test to intubate and then remove the trach itself once you've established a more definitive airway that hopefully isn't occluded with a bunch of blood. If that trach is still in place and working, you can even pull on the trach itself to provide a little extra tamponade action to that bleeding artery.
While calling somebody with scissors and scalpels to go to the OR. The key trick here is they might have somebody with a trach. It's 2 weeks ago. The patient's complaining of a little bit of bright red blood that's sort of been coming out of this a few times. And the trick is, it's fine. Send them home. What they're trying to tell you, that's a little sentinel bleed. This puppy's about to let loose. And I really like your point about digital pressure. The beautiful thing about emergency medicine is that it's simple. If something's bleeding a lot, stick your finger on it. It's great.